Welcome to the Bible Insights podcast with your host, Val Waldeck. We're doing a bird's eye view of the book of Revelation. And last week we talked about the coming of the Antichrist. And we're looking in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, which gives a summary of his seven-year reign, and particularly the first 3.5 years. We saw that when the first seal, the first series of judgments began, the Antichrist came into the picture on a white horse. Then we looked at some details about his reign. In chapter 13, verses 1 to 10, we saw that he was the leader of a powerful global political system empowered by Satan, identified by a miraculous event, that he had the total allegiance of all the nations. He was an orator of note and a godless man. He had a limited peaceful reign of 3.5 years, followed by 3.5 years of absolute terror when all the nations invaded his kingdom. We notice that he controlled the daily lives of global citizens, and chapter 13 tells us that he has an ungodly religious assistant. So today we're going to look at 10 facts about Antichrist's assistant, the prophesied global religious ruler known as the false prophet, and we find the details in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 to 15. The first thing we notice about the false prophet, that like the Antichrist, this also refers to a system led by an individual. John writes in verse 11 of chapter 13, he said, "I saw another beast coming out of the earth," talking about the religious system, the one world religion that would rise up during this time. And then he speaks about the leader, the false prophet, the leader of this system. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. So the false prophet is Antichrist's ungodly religious assistant. Verse 11 tells us that he had two horns like a lamb. And that reminds us of the Lamb of God. He looks like a lamb. He looks very religious, but he's actually a ravenous wolf. We know that the great plans for a one world religion that's been going on for some time, and a lot of religious leaders have been talking about it and collaborating for this one world religion. And we know there's great deception coming on the earth. In fact, the one world religion is now an official spiritual equivalent to United Nations. It's already in place. And we ask ourselves a question, will people follow a global religious leader? They're so used to following different leaders in different Christian groups and denominations and movements. Will they follow one global religious leader? And the book of Revelation tells us most assuredly they will. They will think that this religious ruler is like a revival of John the Baptist. They'll think the Antichrist is the Messiah, and they will follow him without question. In fact, Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." People don't understand and realize who Jesus is. They don't read their Bible very much, and they don't understand what is going to happen. The Lord spoke about that in Isaiah 2 verse 6. Isaiah says, "You've abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. Why did you do that, Lord?" And the answer that comes to him is because they are full of superstitions from the east. They're so full of different superstitions and trying to synchronize with other religions and Eastern philosophies. And he tells Isaiah they practice divination like the Philistines. They're involved in spiritism and they clasp hands with pagans. And we've seen how pagan and Christian religious leaders have gotten together and dedicated roads and buildings and all sorts of things, and how they all pray to their God, all standing together and praying to the various gods at the same time. The Lord says he's not happy about that. How can you tell a true Christian leader from a counterfeit one? Jesus tells us that we have to apply the fruit test, not what they say, but we have to look at what they do. We have to look at the quality of their lives. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. He said, "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Because not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' who acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord with their mouth, not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." And Jesus went on to say that many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? We've preached, we've prophesied, we've spoken out in your name. Lord, we've cast out demons in your name, and we've done wonders in your name. We've healed the sick, we've had huge campaigns and huge ceremonies. We've done all kinds of things in your name." And then says the Lord, "I will declare to them, I never knew you. You're not one of my true servants. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. All these things you did out of your own will and desire. I didn't tell you to do them." The Lord says, observe the fruit test. observe how they live, observe how they speak, observe whether the Bible is central in their teaching and whether Jesus Christ is center. The fruit test is so important because Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way to Jesus, no other way to the Father except through his Son, Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven by practicing other religions. You can't get to heaven by following other names. We have to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ because he's the way to God. He's the truth about God. And in fact, he is the one who gives us eternal life. He's the very life of God. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 tells us that nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. And as we look at this false prophet, we see that he has horns like a lamb. He pretends to be a lamb. He's a counterfeit because the moment that he opens his mouth and you look at the fruit of his life and the fruit of his words, you can see where the source of his words come from. In verse 11, John says, I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. The minute he opened his mouth and came with his false gospel and his false teaching, then you know who was behind him. You know who was anointing him? The dragon himself, who is Satan. This man will be empowered and anointed, if you like, by Satan. An interesting thing about him in verse 12, he will be a religious figure, but verse 12 tells us that he will also be a powerful political figure. And we notice in verse 12 that he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. This false prophet will work hand in glove with the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will grant him such political power that in his presence, with his authority, he will do mighty political things. His main focus, verse 12 tells us, will be to cause the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. We hear that three times in this chapter. Something supernatural is going to happen to this Antichrist. Somehow he's going to receive a wound, a deadly wound, and he's going to be healed. And it's going to be so supernatural that people will be stunned. And that's why they will think that he is the real Messiah. The fifth thing we learn about the false prophet is that he has a very specific purpose in these end times. And that is to cause people to worship the Antichrist. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. He's got great political power. He causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. That is the whole focus of his attention, to turn the people of the world's eyes onto the Antichrist, to see him as the Messiah, to worship him, and in worshiping him, to worship the dragon, Satan himself. Already you can see tremendous signs of Satan setting up centers of worship. Did you know that there's a satanic temple in Detroit, in the USA? You will see some really frightening statues at that temple. There's one there in particular where you see the statue which emulates Satan and two little children looking up at him in absolute adoration as the statue is teaching them something. The devil is out, trying to take the attention and the heart of people away from Jesus, and Satanism is growing. Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14 tells us more about this man, and the sixth thing we learn about him is that he will have supernatural powers. You know, the Lord warned us in the end times that there would be a plethora, an epidemic, if you like, of false Christs and false prophets who would do signs and wonders so as to deceive even the elect. Even the children of God will wonder sometimes whether the miraculous thing that they're seeing before them is from God or from the devil. And we read that the false prophet is going to have satanic power and a satanic anointing so that he will perform great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. I had a relative who was in the army, and he told me about this fellow in their platoon who was a Satanist, and he had his little coven of Satanists from among the soldiers. And one day he was chatting to my friend and telling them about the tremendous powers this little group of Satanists had. And he said, you know what, I can even make fire come from heaven. And of course they didn't believe him, and they said, show us. And he pointed at a bush some distance away, and he cursed the bush. And suddenly a fire fell from heaven and burned up that bush. He pointed to a bird in the sky, and he said, I can kill that bird. And the next thing, the bird plummeted to the ground. That is nothing compared to what this false prophet is going to do during the seven-year reign of Antichrist, particularly the first 3.5 years. He will have supernatural powers such as the world has never seen before. The Bible says that. He performs great signs. Great signs, not little things, but great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. This false prophet is going to embrace Spiritism and Satanism. And these religious methods and philosophies are going to take over in these times. There's a very strong warning in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 to 12. God says, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. What does that scripture mean? In those days, people take their children and offer them as sacrifices to the evil spirits and to the various gods, and they'd put them on the altar, and these kids would die by fire. That the Lord says, you're not to do that. We don't do that, of course, in our generation. We don't offer up our children because they're inconvenient to have or because we want to please some deity. We don't do that, do we? We don't have our children killed at the feet of an evil spirit. But I'll tell you what we do. When it's inconvenient for some people to have children, we offer them to death. It's called abortion. Folks, the Lord, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, causes them to be killed, to die prematurely. He said, there shall not be found among you anyone who practices witchcraft. And it's always frightening to me when I see Christian parents allowing their children to read spells and to learn the spells, allowing them to go to the websites that are advertised where these children can learn spells and learn witchcraft and learn how to say curses and learn how to try and control their peers. It's a frightening thing. It's a door to the occult. And the Lord said, there shall not be found among you anyone who does this sort of thing. Or a soothsayer. What is a soothsayer? It's a fortune teller. How many of you have been to a fortune teller and asked them to read your palm or had them tell you something about your future or read what your stars foretell, along with a few million other people who were born on the same day as you? How many of us have done that? Opened the door. It's an open door to the occult. The Lord said, there shall not be found anyone among you who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer or interprets omens, read my teacups. The Lord says, no, not on. Or a sorcerer. That's he's a wizard. How the children love wizards. I went to Disneyland one year and they just had wizards and sorcerers walking in the streets with the children. The Lord said, no one must do these things. Or a medium. Those are people who try to call up the dead. It's a frightening thing when mediums watch the newspaper obituaries and then they try to persuade people to come and speak to their dead, those who passed on. We even have TV programs about On the Other Side. The Lord said, don't touch. Do not touch these things. There shall not be found among you anyone who does these things. Have nothing to do with mediums or a spiritist or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things, says the Lord, are an abomination to the Lord. It's a warning because the false prophet is going to introduce all of these. He's going to promote them and involve people in the occult, which will turn them away from God. You see, the seventh thing we learn about this false prophet is that it's his purpose to deceive the people of the earth. And we read that in Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14, that he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. People look at the wonderful miracles and the things that he does, and they will follow him and worship him and allow him to lead them to worship of the Antichrist. The Bible goes on to say he's going to tell those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast. And here it is again, who was wounded by the sword and lived. People have images of different saints and they have images of people and animals and they worship him. But according to Revelation, he's going to ask them to make an image, a little statue, a replica, maybe a real statue, maybe a digital one. Put it on your phone and speak to it and worship it. They're going to make images to the beast, this Antichrist. And they began to worship him. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream about his statue when Daniel told him about the nations that would rule the earth in the end times, the five great world empires, and finally the 10 toes, which is Antichrist's 7-year reign? Well, Nebuchadnezzar, about 20 years after Daniel had told him this vision, he got it into his head to build a very huge statue. It was over 9 feet tall. It was a statue in honor of himself with the gold head and the silver and the bronze and the iron. And he made that statue, and then this is what he did. We find this in Daniel chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. He sent a herald who said, "It's commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." And we know that Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to worship that statue, and the king immediately passed a death sentence on them and threw them in the burning fiery furnace. But the Lord rescued them, and they walked out unharmed. That is what's going to happen in the end times. He's going to make this image of the beast, and anyone who refuses to worship the beast is going to pay with the death penalty. The eighth thing we learn about the false prophet is that he's going to use technology to achieve his aims, because he's going to tell those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, and not only make that image, but he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Somehow this technology is going to allow that image to speak to people who are living at that time. And Satan, through the Antichrist, through the false prophet, through this image, will be right in your home, right in your lounge, listening to what you're saying and watching to see whether or not you will worship. If you've missed the rapture and you haven't yet received the Lord, to see if you will worship the false prophet. And if you won't, you will be killed. You know that even today there are smart TVs on the market that have a camera and a microphone inside, and they're watching you, they're filming you, they're recording you. It's a known fact. You can Google that. The idea is to see what you like and what you talk about, and they show you advertisements that you're interested in. Have you ever talked to someone about something? Maybe you're interested in buying some shoes or a new razor, and suddenly your iPad and your phone are filled with images and advertisements for the very things you've been talking about. We are being watched, folks. Whether we like it or not, we are being watched. And this false prophet is going to use this technology to monitor all the people on the earth. Now, we know that Antichrist has got an economic plan, and we're going to be looking at that next week, his economic plan. Put something in people's bodies which they will use to conduct commerce. And this false prophet is going to support the Antichrist in this endeavor. Another thing we learn about him is that he supports Antichrist's economic plan. We notice in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 13 that he, John is talking about the false prophet now, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The false prophet is going to persuade people through his religious means and his religious influence to accept the mark of the Antichrist. We've just watched people accepting all sorts of things. After the COVID epidemic, people just stood in line without even questioning what they were receiving. People just happily stood in line and took it. And that's what the false prophet is going to achieve in the end time. That was just a trial run. But the real thing is going to happen during the end times, when the false prophet will use technology to persuade people to take the mark, because folks, money is going to disappear. If you go to the World Economic Forum website, you can check on something they have there that's called the Great Reset. We're going to talk about that next week when we talk about the Great Reset, and they're already busy planning it and already busy talking about it. But I'm happy to tell you the 10th thing we discover from these few verses in Revelation, and particularly chapter 20 verse 10, is that the future of the false prophet is exactly like that of the dragon. We read in Revelation 20:10 that the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. That's the Antichrist and the false prophet. And they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. God has got everything under control. Jesus says, "See, I have told you beforehand." Luke 21 verse 28 says, "Now, when these things begin to happen, when you see a global government forming, when you see a global religion forming, when you see the world preparing this mark that will handle and control all finance, when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws very near." Revelation 22 verse 20, Jesus said, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Next week, we'll be looking at Antichrist's global financial system, so I invite you to join me again, and please visit my website, valwaldick.com. Until next time, God bless you.